We are talking this morning to Dan Gordon, who is the OFPP Administrator, the Office of Procurement Policy. And let's start, if we can, sir, with the Acquisition Excellence Awards that were given out in Orlando this week. What did you find unique and unusual about this set of awards?
I will tell you that we were particularly pleased with the awardees this year. Every year, the Chief Acquisition Officers Council recognizes one team and one individual for their excellence in federal acquisition. But this year, the focus was on our focus here at OMB and OFPP. That's promoting fiscal responsibility, increasing transparency, and improving our federal contracting. And among the nominees, we ended up selecting, it was a tough choice, because there were some really good nominees, but we selected an individual who has done outstanding things in terms of saving the government money and increasing transparency. I can talk to you about her, and a multi-agency team that also did a great job in terms of reducing cost for the taxpayers.
This seems to be a recurrent theme in government these days, really trying to get the most out of your dollar, and oversight, obviously, equally important. So, yeah, tell us about the nominees. Tell us about the single and the team nominees.
Absolutely. The individual team winner this year is Soraya Correa. She is the director and the head of the contracting activities for the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Procurement Operation. And I will tell you, when I read the paperwork, but then when I talked to Soraya, I was so impressed by the innovation and the energy that she and her people have brought to this effort. They created what they call the first source solution. It's a DHS-wide multiple award IT contract. And what really matters is the results on the ground. They drove operational savings of 10%, they increased transparency, and because they automated the documentation process, it meant that their people had more time to achieve better savings on these complicated procurements. It is a win-win-win, and she richly deserved that award.
So when you see people that are motivated, like this nominee is motivated, is that really the key? Is it really something that that one person takes across the finish line, or are there examples like the team you talked about where there's a group of people that can really accomplish this?
Well, it really, no one in the federal government works alone. We're all part of a team in some sense. And since if you're giving me an opportunity to talk about the winning team, I would love to take you up on that.
Good, please.
The winning team is particularly impressive because it crosses the line between agencies. It's part of the team is from the Department of Defense, DOD. Part of the team's from the Department of Interior. And together, they've put together the Military One Source program. What they did was they've brought competition into an environment where we didn't used to have competition. And as I suspect you and your listeners know, the president has directed that we increase competition and move away from one-bid contracts and no-bid contracts. So this team in their program got more competition. They reduced cost. They increased creativity. And they're saving something like $300 million over the life of this contract. And there's another thing that really is the kicker for this team's award. That is, they have increased and strengthened DOD's commitment to our small business owners. That includes the Ability One firms. It includes our service-disabled vet-owned small businesses, as well as other vet-owned small businesses. Again, this is a win-win-win for our taxpayers.
Well, those are impressive accomplishments, and I know that this is the kind of thing that you'd like to see happen as you lay out this guidance for what is inherently governmental, the kinds of jobs that should be done by federal employees rather than by contractors. And I'd like to talk about that for a moment. We're speaking this morning to Dan Gordon. He is the administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy at the Office of Management and Budget. So as you get feedback about this new guidance that you will eventually issue, what are you really looking for? How closely will you define this inherently governmental function?
It's a great question. I'd like to explain. What we did was we issued on March 31st a Federal Register notice. That Federal Register notice is a draft Office of Federal Procurement Policy letter. We're looking for comments. There's a 60-day period, so essentially until June 1st, and we're expecting a lot of comments. The goal here is that we want to have clear guidance. We want everyone, both inside the government and among contractors, to know what the rules are, what work can be contracted out, what work has to be reserved for federal employees, and if work is contracted out, what are the government's responsibilities to be sure that we and the government maintain control of our mission and our operations?
So will there be specific jobs, Mr. Gordon, that will be listed? Will it get that granular?
There will be specific functions, but we're not reinventing the wheel here. There is already a list, as many of your listeners know, of inherently governmental functions in the Federal Acquisition Regulation, the FAR. And the questions we're asking in the Federal Register Notice are these. Should we add or subtract functions from that list? And we don't want this to be an academic exercise. What we've done is we've listed essentially every function that you hear about in the press, in congressional hearings, things that have been controversial, because we want to be concrete in our guidance. For example, private security contractors in connection with combat operations. For example, pre-acquisition activities in contracting shops. We ask the world, that's the public, whoever wants to comment during the 60-day period, do you think these functions that we identify there or other functions should be added to that list?
Mm-hmm. And obviously contractors are very interested in making sure that their work is preserved. So have you been getting feedback from them? And are they concerned in any way that they'll lose employees that may be sucked into the federal government through this process? Or what kind of feedback are you receiving?
Part of my role, and I'd say an important part of my role, is being out and listening to people. I meet with trade associations, with contractor groups, with individual contractors. I meet with federal agencies, with federal employees' unions. We're listening to everyone. That includes, of course, the Hill, both the House and the Senate staff have been giving us feedback. That feedback is very important. I think people, so far, I would sum up the feedback we've heard this way, but we haven't yet gotten formal written comments. Number one, people are appreciative that we're taking this on, and they think that the draft policy letter is a good start. Number two, people are somewhat concerned, especially on the contractor side, about how this is going to play out. We don't want this to be an anti-contractor effort. This is an effort to rebalance our relationship with contractors to be sure that the government does its part and the appropriate part in working with contractors. So I think that as people give us feedback, they will understand that we are very much listening. I personally intend to read all of the comments that we get, but we have a small team here at OFPP that will also be working through all of those comments. And we expect a lot.
We're talking this morning to Daniel Gordon, Administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy at the Office of Management and Budget, about that which is inherently governmental, with the jobs that would fall under that category. So was this largely driven, do you think, by some of the oversight problems that were experienced in Iraq and possibly now Afghanistan, or was it something that was more widespread?
The president pointed out in his March 2009 memo, just a few weeks after he took office, that the line between work that could be contracted out and work that had to be reserved for federal employees had become blurred. And that was our mandate, to try to clarify and make that line less blurry, more clear, so that it was more useful in terms of defining what work is inherently governmental and what work can be contracted out.
So you are expecting comments by May 31st. So then what happens to the regulation at that point?
We will consider all of the comments that we get. In the course of the summer, we will be revising the draft policy letter and finalizing it. And then once we're done, we will publish a final policy letter. It may and probably will mean that eventually we'll have to make changes to the Federal Acquisition Regulation. Let me give your listeners a concrete example. The list of inherently governmental functions is in the FAR, as I mentioned before. So if we think that the list needs to be changed, eventually the FAR will need to be amended.
And so you're willing and probably able to do that, to amend the FAR based on this?
Absolutely. What would happen would be we would finalize the policy letter, and if that means that we need to make changes to the FAR, we would open up a FAR case for the FAR Council to consider that.
And do you expect that to happen?
Yes, I would expect that that there will be at least some changes as this policy letter is finalized. That will mean that there will need to be amendments to the FAR. At the very least, we want to be sure that the FAR accurately reflects the current policy.
And do you think that this is largely going to be surrounding acquisition and acquisition oversight, program management, those sorts of functions, or do you think it'll be more wide-ranging?
We talk in the draft policy letter about critical functions and the need to be sure that the government, the federal employees, maintain control of the mission and operation in our critical functions. That may well include acquisition in every agency, but there are other critical functions. Some of them are going to vary by agency. NASA's critical functions won't be the same as USDA's, but some of them may be very similar across the board. For example, in addition to acquisition, the IT shops may be viewed as a critical function. And I should underscore that the draft policy letter says that it is fine to be using contractors in critical functions as long as federal employees maintain control of our mission and operations.
All right. So what you're really looking for is that management oversight function that you feel was perhaps either traded away to contractors or given to them to do, or there just wasn't the manpower in the federal government to actually accomplish that.
We were not adequately managing those contractors. Absolutely.
All right. And so that this will be an attempt to manage the contractors adequately within the federal sphere.
Yes. We want to rebalance our relationship with contractors.